excellent. I got that part. Excellent. You guys are excellent. Thank you very much. That is great. That is so good. So good. Thank you so much for that. So, well, someone was asking me if I deliberately picked this scripture to go with the Taste Across America, you know, because it's talking about salt of the earth. No, I didn't. It just kind of worked out that way. It is kind of cool that we're doing Taste Across America and talking about salt of the earth. Diana, my kids, and many of you have wonderfully nuanced senses of taste. Okay? You do. You can tell the difference between sea salt and regular salt. You can tell the difference between iodized salt and non-iodized salt. You can probably tell the difference between Morton's salt and bargain brand salt. Me, not so much. I'm lucky to know the difference between salt and sugar. All right, they look alike. Really, how can you tell the difference except for one's salty and one's not? That's my culinary lesson for you for the week. All right, there's a difference between salt and sugar, and Jesus is calling on us, reminding us of our identity. Because we, at times, are in danger of forgetting who we are, and we are living in a time in which our identity matters. It is needed not just for ourselves, but we are living in a time when it is very much needed for the world as well. We are hearing Jesus remind us of our identity, because every day that we wake up, every choice we make, the world is going to ask us who we are. And if we do not know, the world will tell us who we are. And Jesus is helping us claim the true identity. We are the salt of the earth. That is who we are. He doesn't say you could be the salt of the earth if you follow these rules. He doesn't say you will become the salt of the earth if you do these things. He tells us flat out, right now, the way you are, where you are, what you're facing, you are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. What Jesus is telling us and reminding us is we are needed. You know salt. Back in the ancient time, they didn't have refrigerators. They used salt to help preserve the word. Jesus is calling on us to be those people who preserve the vision of God's kingdom, because it is in danger of becoming lost. We don't become salt for salt's sake. We become salt of the earth to be able to help season conversations with hope and healing, with love and grace, with understanding and forgiveness. I don't have to tell you, we're living in some stinking rotten times. We're living in a time when we absolutely need to preserve God's vision of creation. God looked at the world He created and all of its diversity. All of its diversity. Let that sink in. All of its diversity. And God declared it to be good. This is God's planet. We're not strangers here. We're not in exile here. We are ambassadors and visionaries. We are the salt of the earth of God's kingdom. And Jesus reminds us of that identity. It's one thing to be on a low-sodium diet. That's a healthy choice. But we do not need low-sodium Christians. Jesus is telling us who we are. We're not salt for our sake. We're salt for the world. And there's a danger. There is a danger to lose our saltiness. That's the temptation. See, that's a temptation we're living in now. The temptation is to hide. The temptation is to lose our saltiness. The temptation is there's a lot of things going on, and we don't want to upset the boat, and we don't want to cause any problems, and we don't know. It's becoming a fearful time. And Jesus is reminding us of the identity, that we are exactly what is needed for this time, at this place, and what's happening in our country and around the world. If for such a time as this. You've heard that expression before. Remember the book of Esther, chapter 4, verse 14. Remember, Esther is fearful. She's afraid to speak out. She could lose her life. There could be severe consequences. All kinds of terrible, horrible, no good, very bad things could happen to her. And she's fearful about what could happen. And Mordecai reminds her, for such a time as this, Esther, there's no guarantee of a positive outcome. I don't know how it's going to end up for you. All I know is you have been given an opportunity for such a time as this. This is exactly where you are supposed to be. This is exactly what you are supposed to do. This is who you are. But there's a danger. There's a danger when you speak up. John the Baptist spoke up. How did that work for him? He lost his head, literally. Colonel Vindman spoke up. How did that work out for him? He lost his job. He chose principles over politics. We see it all the time in our country. We are not called to be bullies intimidating people on a Twitter account. We are called to be people of God. And there is a danger that happens when you do that. Mitt Romney, you may have seen him, chose to speak up about his faith and was ridiculed by his own party for it. Speaking up has consequences. Mitt Romney, though, had a wonderful example. I'm sure he remembered his father. When his father was the governor of Michigan, and at that time civil rights was coming out into play, and George Romney stood on the side for civil rights, went against his party, went against all the powers to be, and said, "No, you're wrong. I am speaking out in faith." There's a consequence when you speak out in faith. I understand that. It is a fearful time. Let's not pretend that if we're going to be the salt of the earth, if we're going to season the world with grace, we don't get to separate people into an us and them. Whoever the them are, God loves them just as much. They're not any more evil than you are. They're not any more wicked than we are. We've got to quit this whole point about dividing people. God has called us to be the salt of the earth, to unite us into one planet, into one people. Years ago, some of you remember this. You've studied it in history, or you were powerful enough to be able to live through it, to see it and be reminded and to be inspired of it. We have taken a dream of a vision of unity and turned it into a nightmare of hatred, with everyone calling around their own flag saying, "Oh, we have it right," or "They have it wrong." No, no. That does not preserve the vision God has given us. We are the salt of the earth to preserve a vision of unity, a provision where love and grace prevail. I get it. We're living in dark times. I understand it's stormy times. That's why Jesus says you're the light of the world. You are the light of the world, especially needed when times are dark, especially needed when there's stormy times, like a lighthouse. And there's storms going on, and the wind is raging, and waves are piling, and it's dark, and there's rocks of hatred everywhere. And we shine as beacons of hope, warning others about the danger of what could happen. Don't let the storms take you off your course. We are the light of the world. A light that shines God's goodness, God's grace to all people. We don't get to just choose who's going to get the light. We shine the light on everyone. Do you remember when you were growing up in Sunday school? One of the first songs you learned, "Jesus loves me." But then what was the second one? "Jesus loves all the little children. Red and yellow, black and white. They are precious in His sight." And it breaks God's heart to think that there are His children who are lost. His children who are feeling unloved, unwanted. We are called to be the salt. We are called to be the light. Albert Schweitzer, some of you remember, you studied him way back. African medical missionary. There he was, out there in the darkness of Africa. Every night, put a lamp outside the front of his tent, his hospital. And I want to tell you what it said. I can't remember the quote exactly. It said, at whatever hour you come, you will find light and hope and human kindness. That's the beacon of hope we're called to share and magnify. God's love, God's grace, meant to be shined on all people, not separated into camps. We miss our kingdom assignment when we become fearful, when we become worried what others will think or what others will say or what others do. We share God's love. Remember in science class when you learned about conductors and resistors with electricity? Y'all remember that? Get out your paper and pen. I'm going to give a test. All right? Conductors and resistors. Remember how that's how electricity works, okay? It flows what? Does it flow through a conductor or a resistor? A conductor. That's easy. That is an easy test. Look at that. Now you guys are going to leave class thinking you're, or worship. Look at me. I know the difference between a conductor and a resistor. And some of you, okay, you might remember, I was talking about this about 10 years ago, the year 2010. Look, there's a history lesson here. It was Christmas Eve sermon. All right? And I was talking about our spirituality and the importance of our spirituality. And I was talking about electricity. And I was talking about conductors. And I was talking about resistors. Remember how all that went? And you all had a candle and you're going to be lighting your candle from the Christ candle. And I'm using all these metaphors. And we were talking about pickles. Remember that? Remember that? We are blessed. We have a certified electrical engineer in Jim Gillespie. And so I had gotten with Jim ahead of time. I said, I need you to do this for me. And he's looking at me like, God, he's gone over the loop. But he was trusting enough to actually build it for me. And he built, remember that? We had the banister right here. And I put it up here, okay, and took out a giant pickle. Put it on the, remember that? We spiked it up here. Turned off all the lights. And what happened? Turned on the pickle, the electricity. And the pickle what? It glowed. It wasn't enough that you could read a book by, but it was enough that you could see the pickle. Now, if God can make a pickle glow, do you see where this is going? If God can do that with a pickle, imagine what God can do with you in your current environment, where you are, if you will be a conductor of God's grace. Allow God's grace to flow through you, through each of us, to be able to share that wonderful news, that great news, the gospel news, that Jesus Christ came to save all of God's children. That we are called to give witness, to give light to those who are in darkness, to give hope to those who are hurting. We are called to be the ones that season our conversations with hope and healing. We are the salt of the earth. We are the light of the world. Jesus is telling us this because we are needed. If not now, when? If not you, who? Each and every one of us placed here on assignment. Not to be afraid, but for exactly just a time as this. Do you remember that other song we learned? This Little Light of Mine. Remember how that went? This Little Light of Mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This Little Light of Mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This Little Light of Mine, I'm gonna let it shine, let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Remember how that went? We don't hide it under a bushel. We don't let the devil blow it out. We're gonna let that light shine. That's who Jesus said we are. That's who we are needed to be. We are the salt. We are the light. We are needed. Amen.